Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hat. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. We're running a little bit behind, so we're going to try to get Coach Colin Oyama on right now.
Hello.
Hey, Coach. This is Don McGuire from The Fighter's Voice. How you doing, sir?
Good, man. Hey, just about to park, so I guess it's good timing.
Right? No better time than now. Man, tremendous weekend you had. You're at weigh-ins today. You're a busy man. You know, Coach, first and foremost, thank you for coming on the show. You know, a lot of people say that it took you to rebuild your passion in the sport with Hungry Fighters. What was it that had Coach Colin Oyama kind of lose his passion and had to make that redirective?
I think I feel like if I got to babysit, when I feel like I'm babysitting people, I get over stuff real quick. So at one point I felt like it was a big babysitting gig. And I think that's the thing for me. It's just like, hey, man, you know, if my dream's bigger than yours, then what the hell am I doing this for, you know? Okay. And I think that's what got me, man. When you got to chase people down or, like, you know, encourage them to do certain things, you got to ask yourself, like, well, why am I doing this, man? If you don't want to do this, why am I doing it, you know?
You know, I've had you on the show a couple times now. What I take away from you, Coach, and you know, a lot of people call you legendary. They call you an icon. They consider you one of the greatest coaches in the sport, which you truly are. But how does Colin Oyama see himself?
I see myself as a 25-year-old person that never really grew up much. And just trying to have fun, you know. I think I learned along the way that when the fun runs out, that, you know, passion usually follows it too. And it's funny, the timing of it was with the North Carolina fight, but that was a kid that kind of made me think about not retiring, you know. Having a kid like that, that, you know, worked hard, not the most physically gifted guy, but he's a grinding machine, tough, you know, and kind of made me think twice about, you know, well, and I remember telling the management, like, hey, you find me a bunch of guys like this guy, then maybe I'll keep doing it, you know? And so that's what we've been trying to do, just get a bunch of Alex Perez's out there that, you know, work hard and, you know, get in your face and just keep working hard. And to me, that made it fun again, man, you know? As far as how I see myself, man, I just see myself as me, you know, just, I don't know, another guy, I guess. I try to stay low as much as I can.
Yeah. You know, I love that because I understand that because, you know, I'm perplexed in this sport and I really don't, you know, I know what you mean, you know, but it was kind of weird how this show worked out because I actually didn't correlate you and Alex Perez together. It was kind of a weird thing. It was like I saw this young warrior go out there and put on a tremendous show, you know. I didn't even think about him being you know, Team Oyama are under you, Coach. And I had already asked you to come on the show, so I reached out and I asked him, and lo and behold, I got both of you on the same day. So that's a tremendous attribute to life. You know, the thing about you that really inspires me is your ideology, your theology about the sport is it takes two. It takes a team. This sport is not for one person. What has Coach Colin Oyama, you know, redefining the sport in that aspect?
I mean, that's a tough question. I think a lot of people, you know, they get the dream part of it, you know, like, hey, I got a dream. I can do anything. It's like, okay, I got you there. But are you going to do the other part, too, of making the dream a reality, you know? And a lot of people get mad when you talk about stuff like that, you know? They're like, oh, you're hating on my dream. I'm not hating on your dream, man. I'm trying to make it a reality. But part of that reality is you got to run. You got to train. You got to lift. You got to wrestle. You got to box. You know, and you know, they don't want to hear that part. They just want to know, well, your kid's on TV, and that should be me. And it's like, well, my kid grinds it out 6 days a week. That should also be you. And, you know, and I think a lot of the young people nowadays, they don't understand that. You know, I shouldn't say all young kids. There's a lot of hardworking ones out there, too. Don't get me wrong. But I just think of, you know, back in the day, I think people were less vocal and more physical in that they got things done and they worked hard to get things done. And now it's the opposite. They're quick to get on social media, quick to Twitter, quick to blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you know, they're talking. It's like, you got one fight in, buddy. You know, before you start doing the Conor McGregor, hey, go do some of the things that McGregor did and maybe, you know, you'll get some slack to talk. But, you know, you're 1-0. Don't really got to hear you chirp. Just keep grinding away, you know. By the time Alex got a contender series, I think he had like 20-something fights before he finally got an opportunity just to fight in contenders. He didn't even get invited to the UFC. He had to fight his way into that, you know. But if you really do have a dream, man, you'll do that. You'll fight 20-some-odd times. You'll take that contender spot just for a chance to maybe get into the UFC. You know, you'll win that fight, and you'll go from there. So the thing that I've taken away, man, is you got to work your way into stuff, man. You know, can't occupy a park and just ask for handouts and expect to be in a big show and stuff. Man, there's a lot of people that should be in the UFC. There's a lot of people that shouldn't be there. You know, you just got to bide your time and keep working. And, you know, one day your shot might get there when you least expect it. And you got to be ready. You know, you can't be just like, oh, I can't make weight in 2 weeks or, oh, man, I don't feel right. You know, you just never know when your opportunity will come. You know, for Alex, his opportunity came with 2 weeks notice and he was a bit heavy, I'm not going to lie, but he got that 20 pounds off. And I think that's the attitude you got to have nowadays. Is, you know, the UFC has a lot of athletes. They don't have a lot of openings. So to get into that show, you got to be ready at the drop of a hat. And that means you got to be ready all year round. And you got to really treat it like a job. It is your job to be in shape, to take that call when it comes, and to make the most of your dream. So, I think it takes a lot. Yeah,
it's true because I'll be honest with you. I used to be in fighter management, but I walked away from it. But I decided this. I've had this one Bellator vet been begging me, so I decided that I would go ahead and manage just one fighter again because I believe in the kid. And just yesterday, I got a call from the UFC. Said can he be ready for the 22nd UFC Australia? And my fighter didn't have his passport ready.
Oh, jeez. That happened to me, too, so I think it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah, but that might be his one and only opportunity. So, fighters, listen to Coach Oyama because these opportunities just don't come. You know, my fighter understood that it's on him and that this opportunity may never arise again. But, you know,
we had a kid that had a fight signed, sealed, and delivered. And the whole time he kept telling me, I got a passport. And, yeah, he had one, but it was expired for 7 years, you know.
Okay.
And he lost out that chance to fight in Argentina. And, you know, and, yeah, that's a big mistake, man. You know, a lot of young people think, oh, well, I'll get another chance again. You never know. There's a lot of other hungry young people just like yourselves And the UFC, they're going to move on. They're not going to be, like, just hunting you down. There's tons of talent that they can get. So
yeah,
to blow an opportunity like that, to me, is just, man, it's I don't want to say it's inexcusable, but it's pretty foolish. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd only had him for 3 days and got this opportunity after 3 days. So I was kind of like, bro, you got to get your shit together. You know, you got to get it together. And, you know, one thing that I find unique about you, and this is going to be a hard question, Coach, because you've managed and coached some of the greatest fighters that exist in the UFC to, you know, right now and past, present, and future, you know, especially with Alex Perez. How hard is it to keep that ego in check? How hard is it for you, Coach, to get that fighter to maintain what got him there?
I think when the fighters know that, hey, man, you care about him, you can discipline him differently, you know? When those guys had nothing, I was there. Those guys got something, now I'm still here. But they'll know, too. Like, if they're screwing up, I'll drop an F-bomb. I don't care. You know, somebody can tell me, well, I'm famous on Instagram, and I'm in the UFC, and I got a million followers. I don't give two shits. Like, practice starts at this time. Show your ass up, man, you know? And if you don't like it, well, you can pack your stuff and get the hell out. It's not going to break my day. You know, we got 20 other guys in here that are good, too. So I'm not going to cater to somebody. It's just like, man, do your job. You know, your job is to be a good partner for everyone else and to win your fights and be part of a team. And those guys will do the same for you. So for me, I treat them like that from day one. And that's never going to change. And if you don't like it, well, man, there's other gyms out there. You can always go there, man, you know. And we've actually had some guys. Like, I'm out of here. Okay, good. And then, you know, a month later, they want to come back. And I'm like, nah, man, you're not for me, you know. You're not for me. Just get back, get your ass back on Instagram and go be famous, man. But, you know, I feel like these guys demand a lot of me. And in return, I'm gonna ask a lot of them, too. Like, hey, man, so-and-so's got a fight. You need to come in and help that guy get ready for this fight. The same way they helped you get ready for your fight. Don't tell me you got to travel, you got all these appearances and all that nonsense. Like, no, man, somebody helped you out, you got to run payback. And so I think one of the advantages we have is we have UFC guys helping non-UFC guys and vice versa. So it's like, hey, you know, there's a good training environment in the room and there's a high caliber of sparring competition because our guys like Alex and Cheeto and those guys, they train. They train all year round. So even when they don't got fights, they're in their sparring. They're in their wrestling. They're in their working with the younger guys. So
well,
I think
that's
what's fueled our success, you know?
Yeah, well, not to mean to cut you off, but it's kind of, I mean, you can even take Tom DeBlas's jiu-jitsu analogy with that. You know, he said, I may be a black belt, but I'm a white belt at heart. And that can be perplexed into the MMA world. You might be a world champion, but to train with an up-and-comer or an amateur or someone of that caliber, they might, hey, old dogs get taught new tricks every day, bruh. And, you know, so in my opinion and in my thoughts, if you are a world champion and you think you're too good to train with those lesser fighters or up-and-coming fighters, then you're doing yourself a disservice because in reality, like I said earlier, you know, old dogs can, you know, learn new tricks, and these young fighters coming up, there's something else. So, you know, and I love your ideology that you gotta, you know, they helped you with your fight, so you're gonna help them with yours. And I think that's what's created such a success and a buzz about you, Coach. I mean, every weekend you're somewhere. You're always, your team is always a solid team, very professional. You know, well, the question I kind of want to ask you, because a good buddy of yours who I happen to know wanted me to ask you, you know, what does Hawaii truly mean to Coach Colin Oyama?
I think it represents an ideal. When you come from there, you know, people have a certain view of Hawaii, like it's some rich, fabulous place, but it's kind of poor. You know, there's nice areas and stuff, but there's a lot of low-income areas too. And then, you know, people there are, they're not always materialistic in Hawaii. You know, sometimes we're happy with a lot less. And sometimes being happy with a lot less is better than being unhappy chasing certain goals where you just ruin lives around you, you know. But the one thing I think the kids from Hawaii all have is a drive. They're not going to give up. You know, win, lose, or draw, they're going to fight till the end. Whether, you know, even when they're outmatched, they're going to still fight. And I think that's the one thing that all the fighters have from Hawaii, regardless of if I have them or wherever they train at. They're gonna go. They're gonna go until they can't go. And I think that's an ideal that's instilled in a lot of athletes in Hawaii, whether it's fighting, football, any sport, wrestling. You know, kids from there, they're not always known for, you know, having the best athletic ability or being the biggest or fastest or whatever. But they are pretty well known for, like, if you fight a kid from there, man, you're gonna be in a fight. And win, lose, or draw, you're gonna know that you've been in a fight when you're done too. You know, so I think I try and bring that onto the kids here. Like, look, you know, life's not perfect sometimes, but you can't sit there for a perfect opportunity or just wait for everything to be perfect before you decide to get off your ass and do something. At some point, you know, you just gotta take a stab at something, man. You know, you take a chance and make it happen. If it happens, it happens. But if it doesn't happen, at least you took a shot at it. But we know for sure if you don't do anything, nothing's going to change. So you might as well take a chance. But I try and bring that to the kids. Take a chance, you know, take a chance.
Yeah. One thing I think people need to understand, I mean, if you look at the sport and all the fighters that have come from Hawaii, they come up from hard lives, hard backgrounds, but they've never used it as an excuse. You know, you look at BJ Penn, Kendall Grove, Justin McCauley. I mean, I could go on and on and on. You know, and it's tremendous to me because the island really hasn't been really that perceptive to the sport. What, you know, the warriors that have made it out of there, like you said, they truly earned it. When you fight them, you're going to fight somebody that deserves to be there. You know, looking at it in that hindsight, Coach, how gratifying would it be for you to settle back down in Hawaii and continue Team Oyama in a different aspect over there?
I think that would be difficult only because we're established here. I'm 50 years old. To go back there and restart everything all over again, I'm not sure if you know, to start a gym from ground zero would be something that I can do at this age. You know, maybe, but which is why we brought kids from Hawaii out here. You know, obviously Louis Smolka is here. We have a kid named Kanan, Kauai High, who comes back and forth. And we've always opened our doors to, you know, to kids that have, you know, island backgrounds of some sort. To be able to go back there and leave all these guys here would be unlikely. But, yeah, you know, you never know how the future holds. But, you know, to be able to retire there and just retire there, that'd be good. You know, obviously, I'd like to go home and spend time with my mom and two relatives. But as far as, you know, reinventing the gym out there from scratch, that would be fairly difficult, I think. But not because the talent isn't there. It's just more just the logistical things, I guess. Yeah.
Well, you know, Coach, now that you sit at 50 years of age, you're a youngster, but you know, did you when you look over your shoulder, did you ever surmise that you would create, define, and pave some of the aspects in the sport like you have?
No, actually, I thought when I was younger, I'd be working in a law office, making a lot of money, and driving a nice car. Instead of, you know, getting hit and driving a pickup truck. So and I can't really say I knew what to expect. And even when the Fertittas first bought the UFC, I remember that first one in, you know, Trump Taj Mahal. You had 3,000 people there. It was a success, I guess, from that point of view. But you know, never really thought it'd go, you know, go from there to what it's turned into now. So I guess you never know. I mean, things keep changing. Who knows where the sport will be 10 years from now, and hopefully it keeps evolving, and you know, hopefully it gives more kids an opportunity to make a living and, you know, more along the lines of, you know, some of the other professional sports out there. But obviously, there's been some changes, both good and bad. But you know, for the most part, you know, it's been good. The changes have been good.
Yeah, you know, I look at, you know, the aspects from, like we talked about earlier, Carla Cookie Monster Esparza to the young man that's going to be coming on in about 10 minutes here, Alex Perez. You know, what does it mean for a coach like yourself to sit back and watch the ones that are truly hungry, the ones that truly want it, go out there and find their purpose? What does it mean to you as a coach knowing that you played a role in that aspect?
I think it's gratifying, you know. Especially with some kids, you know, you always got these some kids that work really hard and they always fall short no matter what. You know, you kind of wish, like, man, I wish this guy could make it, you know. And I think with those two, it's kind of cool because, you know, they work hard, but they did make it. And Alex is still making it. He's not satisfied where he's at. He's trying to get as far as he can. And it's good to see people like, you know, like that work hard and actually get rewarded for that hard work, no matter how long it takes. And it's also nice to see that persistence. And it hasn't been easy for him. You know, he said thoughts about quitting in the past. And it's like, hey, look, man, you know, you can quit or work in a cheese factory in Lemoore, you know, like all your other friends. Or you can take one more chance, you know, and come back down and keep going, even though you lost the fight, you know. And at that point, he made a choice, like, you know what, man, you're right. I can always make cheese. And, you know, and he's turned it to a success. You know, Carla could have done other things as well. You know, she's a college graduate. She has a degree. I'm sure she could have, like, hey, getting punched in the face sucks. I can do something else. Hell, I could go marry some rich guy or something, you know. I don't know. But at some point she decided, look, you know, yeah, I'm going to take a stab at this. You know, I want to be something greater than what other people can do. And to see them succeed in that is great. And to see a younger generation of kids right behind them and, you know, are they all going to get to where these two are? I don't know. But they're going to take a stab at it. And that's the first step, you know. If you don't even take a stab at it, well, you're never going to make it. So what do you got to lose at some point? You know, give it a shot. And, little by little, I see each of the successes that these young ones have. And as they inch closer and closer to the bigger show, and some have already broken in. And I think we got like six guys in there now, seven. Well, I don't lose count. But and the younger ones can see the older ones finally getting in. And, you know, they're going to wait their turn to get in. It's a cool feeling to see these guys actually see their friends who started the same way they did. They weren't in the UFC. They all started at ground zero, fighting for, you know, some of these smaller local shows and working their way up. And, you know, we're fighting tomorrow night for LFA, and we got three young guys there. And they all know that the guys before them fought in LFA. And so they're feeling like, hey, man, I'm going to fight for LFA. I'm going to try and win this title, and then I'll be next. And it's good. It's nice to see the progression. Yeah.
You know, I kind of want to ask you, God, it's kind of a elephant in the room question on something you said a second ago. You know, you said you see those guys in the gym that truly give it 100. They give it that grind, but they don't have what it takes to make it to the big show or to make it to that level. How hard is it, or how trying is it on a coach having to sit that fighter down and have that talk with him? Or how does Coach Colin Oyama handle that type of situation?
I've been fortunate enough to where most of the guys we have, they at least have a legitimate shot at making it somewhere, whether it's UFC or Bellator or PFL or somewhere. So, you know, are they all going to make the UFC? Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. But even with those fighters, like, you know, I would never, like, hey, you're never going to make it, buddy. I think you just got to always try and put them in the right situations, you know, and find the right types of fights and get them in the right situations to where you can actually, you know, back their way into the big show. Or you'd be surprised, you know. I've seen a lot of fighters, you know, and I'm not going to lie, we've been in fights, we've been overmatched too, you know. I'm not dumb. But you can still convince your fighter to win the fight. And whether it's tactical things or decision making or certain types of elements that they bring to the fight, you can have a fighter that is overmatched still win the fight, especially if the other guy is just an idiot or fights foolish, you know. So even with guys that you're not sure they're going to make it, I still roll the dice and see what happens because, sometimes they get there. Sometimes people bloom late or sometimes things just go off in their head at a later time and, you know, they make rapid improvements. So I'm a pretty stubborn person, so I'm not too quick to give up on guys. But the only thing that would have me shut somebody down is too many concussions or, you know, they've been knocked out a few times. It's kind of like, hey, man, look, it's not even I don't believe in you. I'm just more worried about your health. But other than that type of situation, usually we just kind of keep going to see what happens until, you know, they know and we all know, like, hey, your performance just, you know, maybe you're too old or too many injuries. Then I think it comes down to a mutual understanding of both parties. But as long as you're young and strong, I'll keep trying to figure out ways to get them into the big show no matter what.
Well, that's what defines you as a coach because, you know, that's what you're there for. You're there to instill change and productivity into a fighter and inspire them. And that's,
well, if you're a trainer and you're worth it, if you're worth anything as a trainer, you got to win some of the fights that you're not supposed to win, right? It's like if I got a favorite that's 10-1 and I win that fight, well, yeah, man, you're supposed to win that fight. So, you know. You got to find a way to win those fights. That's guaranteed. It's the ones that, you know, hey, man, this one's close. It's even, or you're outgunned, man. That guy's bigger, stronger, whatever. Those are the ones. If you're as good as you think you are, you got to find a way to win those too. And, you know, that's why sometimes you're saying that, you know, some people, they don't have enough talent to actually consistently make it there. I get it. But sometimes if you can just get them into the show, people change. You know, I've seen people get into the UFC, and I'm just like, wow, man, this guy's in there. And then next thing you know, the next fight, and you're like, wow, this guy's getting a little bit better. You know, and before you know it, I'm like, well, man, this guy's really getting better, you know. So sometimes people, you know, they improve at a later date or they finally get an opportunity to fight in the big show and the learning curve changes or maybe they just get more relaxed and they open up. I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to name any names, but there's a couple of fighters. When they first got to the UFC, I'm like, man, this guy's not that good. He's horrible. But then the next fight out, I'm like, man, is that the same guy? Okay. And no, 3-4 fights later, you're like, wow, man, hey, this guy doesn't even look like the same guy that I saw, you know, 5 fights ago. So you just never know, man. I mean, some people, they develop at a later time, and they turn out to be really, really good fighters. So,
yeah. Well, see, that's what I was kind of trying to get at because – you know, we talked about me managing fighters. I had a fighter that was, you know, when he first came out, he lost his first 5 fights, and he wanted to give up, and I told him not to. And I'm like you, I'm not going to mention any names, but right now he's a current champion in Bellator. So, you know, you never know. You just don't know.
You don't know.
And that's what defines you, coach. And that's what has you making a difference, and why the sport is looking at you is because you believe in people, and you believe in yourself and your ability, and that's what the sport needs. It needs people that truly are compassionate, caring, but will tell you the truth. And to me, that's Coach Colin Oyama. With that being said, Coach, you know, it's a true honor to always have you on my show, and to share a little bit of your knowledge with the world. You know, you're a tremendous man. I'm always scared shitless to have you on the show, and I don't know why. It's because it's your presence. It's who you are. There's only one other aspect of the sport that ever made me that way, and that's Kung Lee, and I don't know what it is, but, it might be the fact that Kung Lee called me and told me, you better bring the fire this time, McGuire, or I'll never come on your show again. And it kind of scared me a little bit. But, you know.
You got that crazy spinning back kick you might knock you out with, too. So, you know.
Well, that guy's something else, man. You know.
I
got to love me some Kung Lee. Yeah.
Yep.
But, Coach, I'm going to get you to stay on the line for a second. We're going to go ahead and call Alex Perez because I want to do a little something, if you don't mind.
sure.
Okay. I was just hoping he answers.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Alex, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing, sir?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, on the line with me is Coach Colin Oyama. The reason I kind of asked Coach to stay over, he didn't know nothing about this, and he's probably going to be mad at me for doing this. But, Coach, in a few short words, what would you like to say to Alex Perez about his performance at UFC Raleigh?
What's up, amigo? I'm going to say,
what up, Coach?
That he choked the hell out of that guy because his arms are so damn short that when he closes them, you can't escape. We call that the T-Rex choke because everybody gives this guy a hard time about his arms, but when he lacks them, when he puts them around your head, everybody stops. They stop laughing because they usually start sleeping. So, hey.
You know, Alex, you've got a tremendous manager, coach. A man that believes and instills knowledge in others and is truly compassionate about what he does. What would you like to say in a short paraphrase to Coach Oyama on how grateful you are to have him?
Hey, don't ask this guy. This guy is good at talking trash. We talk trash to each other all the time. This guy's pretty good at talking trash.
Oh, man. Nah, thank you. If it wasn't for him, I would be working in a cheese factory. And Lemoore, you know, this guy's letting me live my life to the fullest, and I'm glad he's a part of the journey. Like I said, there's not much I can really say to thank him because, you know, what he's done for me, my family is just amazing. This guy cares about everybody, and I'm just happy to make him proud.
And if it wasn't for the cheesehead, I'd be an attorney, so I guess we both lucked out, you know, so.
And, hey, well, you can't leave me out of that equation because if it wasn't for you guys, I would still be an engineer and not a fight photographer and a radio show host. So, I mean, I walked away from a $100,000 a year job back in the 90s to do this, and I love it.
100 grand. You may want to go back, man.
Right? You know, I got my master's in engineering science, and I ended up a fight photographer. Go figure. But, you know, Coach, I just wanted to let the interviews bleed over and let you kind of give Alex a few words. If there's anything else you'd like to say to him before I let you go, Coach.
I'm going to see him in about an hour and a half. Hour and a half, because we got practice in 1 hour, 30 minutes.
All right, well, Coach,
all right.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm going to toss the mic to you before I let you go. If there's anything else you'd like to add to the show, the floor is yours, sir.
Nah, you guys take it easy. You got a good guy coming on, and keep an eye on this guy, man. I mean, he's a grinder, and we're expecting big things from him this year, and I'm excited, man.
Sounds good. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you coming on. I'll have you on again soon, Coach. Thank you.
Yeah, take care, Don. All right, amigo. See you in a few.
All right, guys.
I hope you don't mind me doing that, Alex.
Nah, it's all good.
He already said you were going to end up, he said, you know, there was a couple times you wanted to quit, and he told you, do you want to be a cheesehead or do you want to be a fighter? And
yeah.
So when you brought that up, it was kind of comical. Hell of an outing, brother. Hell of an outing. I'm proud of you. What did you take away from such a tremendous victory? I mean, because I know every athlete looks at a win in a different manner. What did this win truly mean to you?
Honestly, it just meant, like, I was just thankful to be back doing what I love. I got injured, you know, I was supposed to fight Sergio Pettis in Mexico City. I got injured, and, man, sometimes you know, you don't really realize how you take things for granted. You know, I wasn't able to train for a while and stuff like that, and it's just like, man. And just, like, stepping in there, getting the win just was amazing. You know, I put all my belief in my coaching staff, my nutritionist, Heather and Bobby from the UFCPI, and Tara, all, and then, you know, everybody at OC Fight Dog to get me ready to step back in there. And I'm just grateful to be able to get the win for everybody that helped me out. And for myself, it was just like, you know, a lot of pressure off my shoulders, a lot of relief off my shoulders.
Yeah, I feel you there. You know, is OC Doctor, is that Dr. Kessler?
Yeah, OC Fight Doc, yep.
Yeah, that's my boy. You know, I gotta admit, you know, watching the fight, being in the game so long, you kind of seen where you were taking the aspects on the ground. You know, once you felt it locked in, did you know at that point that, you know, you had it, that the fight was yours? Because, I mean, it was a thing of beauty, to be quite honest with you.
No, actually, I was going for a arm triangle. You know, I was trying to get across or whatever, and he had a good lockdown on my leg. And honestly, I just heard him breathing kind of funny. You know, like I've heard that breathing before in practice. Like when you get like a good submission, the guy's trying to hold on, and I was like, oh man, I'm just gonna squeeze. My corner Jeremiah Van was like, don't burn your arms out, don't burn your arms out. And I kind of one of those things. I always tell him like, just keep yelling things at me, because sometimes like I can hear you, I can listen, but I might not like that idea, or this might be comfortable for me. So like, don't ever like figure, you know, don't think I'm not listening. And he's like, don't burn your arms out. And he's like, pass, pass. I went to go pass and I heard him breathing crazy. And I was like, man, this is now or never kind of thing. Just going to go for it. And, you know, thank God it worked out for me.
Oh yeah. Most definitely. Even up against your cage too. That was crazy. You know, you earned a fight of the night bonus. I mean, you deserved it. You truly were one of the top fights on the card for me. You know, but I my show's a little bit different. As you can tell, I've had, you know, Colin Oyama's been on here many times. I've interviewed some of the greatest in the sport. I kind of do things a little bit different, so I hope you understand the thought of questioning we're going to get into, but you will at the end, hopefully. You know, I want to go back to the Joseph Benavidez fight, you know, because in the sports world, we get taught lessons. And what was it that had you, Alex, you know, dig deep within yourself and try to find the difference that, you know, taught you that lesson that day and bring you back up to the point that you were against Espinoza?
The lesson I learned from that Benavidez fight was, don't put my head down. Don't get headbutted. You know what I mean? Like, people thinking, like, everybody thinks that he knocked me out from a punch. You know, I did a mistake on my part, put my head down, and he ran right into my temple, and then that's what ended up kind of, like, starting everything. Second thing is just that, you know, got to fight a little bit smarter and just that you're not invincible. Anybody can be beat.
That's a true fact. You know, I kind of want to take you back a little bit to the early days of who you were and what defined you in the sport. Initially, what you know, because Coach said that there's a lot of fighters that come through his gym that don't understand the mentality of teamwork. They, excuse me, they don't understand the work ethic. Who was it and what was it that instilled the passion of the sport and Alex Perez?
Well, I started wrestling at a, you know, at a young age, about sixth grade. And, you know, people that I know, I mean, it's crazy how the times have changed, but back in the day, when you had old school wrestling coaches, you know, it's not like how it is now. Those guys used to grind you and, you know, like push you to a limit. And I remember watching people, like, cry out of the room and no one would get mad, you know. So I got to do a lot, like, give a lot of credit to my coach, Coach Kent Olson. He always grinded us out and always made us work and always made us respect the sport of wrestling. And then I just carried that over to MMA, you know, when I first started training. One, I don't like to lose and anything, you know, whether it's on the track or we're doing sprints, whatever it is, I just don't like to lose. And my coach installed that in me. And
I brought that over to MMA when I first started training with Team Ochoa, and then I brought it over here to Team Oyama when I started training here. And I just kind of always kept the same mentality, and I have guys reminding me constantly, you know, to stay humble and keep on grinding.
Yeah, well, you got a hell of a coach for that, you know. I love that guy. He's comical, you know. It's like for the first few years that I knew him and that he was coming on the show, you know, I always gave him crap because you never get a profile picture of him from his nose down. It would always be just his eyes. You know, you guys have that camaraderie with each other. What is it like to have a coach but yet be able to chop it up and have that family-type aspect in the gym with your coach?
Oh, it's amazing because I feel like Coach Colin is like a father figure. He's guiding me through things, you know, in life and in the gym, and he's mentoring me, like, he's mentoring me to coach, and just, you know, I ask him questions and he answers, and you know, it's awesome because, like I said, like a father figure. Like, we joke around, we talk about stuff, but man, when it's practice time and we know he's serious, everybody like freezes up, you know, because when he'll yell, you're like, oh, dang, like dad's yelling at you, you know. And it's just great because, like I said, I feel like I can go for him for anything. Like, if I need help in general, like, he's always been there. So it's a great feeling to have him around and have him as a mentor and as a father figure in my life.
I'm scared of his ass. I'll be honest.
A lot of people are.
Well, like I was telling him, and I, you know, I'm transparent. So I told him, I said, you know, Coach, I said, I'm scared shitless every time I have you on the show. I said, I'll be quite honest with you. You and Kung Lee scare the crap out of me. You know, but the only difference between Kung Lee and him is Kung Lee, I think on the third show we did together, he called me up. He said, you better bring the heat tonight, McGuire, or I'll never do your show again. And it was like an hour and a half before showtime, so I was scared to death. You know, this sport is humbling, and we take our lumps, we grow, we get a greater understanding of it. You know, sitting at where you're at in the sport now and where you're at in life as a man, did you ever surmise, looking over your shoulder, that you would get this far this quick?
Man, honestly, people think it was a short ride, but it's been a while, man. You know, I remember fighting in behind a pizza parlor, you know, and I remember fighting for $300. When I got the call to the contenders, it wasn't even my spot. You know, I was a short notice replacement, and by the time I got into UFC, I was 17-4. So, in the short time in the UFC, I've had great success, but that just comes down to the people around me, my team, and everybody pushing me to better myself, whether it's in the gym or just in life in general. It's been a crazy long ride. You know, I turned pro in 2013.
Yeah.
So I've been a pro for a while.
Yeah. Well, it shows you got in the sport in 2011. But what's crazy is Coach Oyama brought this up.
Yeah.
2011, what, Omi? Coach Oyama had brought up the fact that you're one of the few fighters that he's ever seen that he felt that was unjustly done, you know, because you say it yourself, you know, you went 17 and whatever, but yet you had to fight your way into the UFC, where others are being handed just opportunities left and right. You know, do you feel that there's an aspect that could be changed for fighters like you? And I mean, you truly had to earn your way into the UFC, according to Coach and according to what I know about your career. Do you think it's unjust and unfair that other fighters are getting opportunities that don't have quite the experience that you do?
It's hard to say, man, because it's hard to like, kind of say something bad about someone that got an opportunity before I did. One of my friends always told me, you can't compare yourself to anybody else. You know, you can't compare your story to somebody else's. Everybody's story is different. No one's ever the same. So it's kind of, I mean, did it hurt seeing some guys not getting the UFC with 6-0, 7-0 records? Oh, yeah, of course, man. Like, I've been putting all this work in. You know, I've been training with UFC guys. You know, I've been doing everything right, and some guys, you know, get in before me. And, yeah, it hurts, but, like, it's no disrespect to them. I was just like, man, I feel like I deserve to be in there. But you can't knock a guy for getting the opportunity when they got it. So, you know, it's kind of like mixed emotions, I guess you can say. Because, yeah, it did hurt, but at the same time, too, it's just like, man, hopefully I get my shot.
You know, when you sit back and you think about it and you got that moment alone, how has the sport truly defined Alex Perez, not just the warrior, but the man?
It's obviously it's transforming to a different person. One, you know, it's given me thicker skin, that's for sure. You know, when I first started in the sport, people would rag on me and say all this stuff, and I used to care. But then now, you know, a few years later, I was like, man, I can care less what people say. It's not my opinion. It's not from someone that I know, you know. It's not from, like, someone I'm close to. No one inside my circle is saying stuff about me. It doesn't matter. So it's helped me in that way, just kind of not care what people think about me, what the outside world thinks of me. As long as my friends and my close circle of friends know who I am, who I truly am, that's all that matters. And it's helped me just be more confident in life, you know, be more, how would I say it, be more outspoken, be more relentless on things, on obviously, like, on goals and stuff like that in life. Like, you know, my goal this year is to get a house. Buy a house this year, and you know, I'm putting everything away, I'm saving, and I bring that back to MMA because, you know, I could have quit a long time ago and I could have done something else, but I just kept going on the path of, all right, I'm gonna make it, and that's what the MMA world has brought to me.
You know, you had a tremendous night with Espinoza. And quickly after, there's a lot of rumor in the sport, and I don't believe in rumors, so I always like to ask the fighter. You know, there is a statement that's out there. I've seen it on your page. I've seen it many places about who you would like to face next. You know, and the three names that come up were Askarov, Schnell, and Cara France. Was that statement, in fact, true? And if it is, who would Alex Perez want next in the octagon?
Yeah, I said I would fight all three of those guys. Those are just guys that are ranked above me, you know. It's not like a personal thing. It's business. To me, it doesn't matter who I get. I'll be ready for whoever. Like I said, ranked or not, ranked opponent or not, to me, it doesn't matter. Short notice, full camp. I'm always ready, man. I'm training. I train all the time.
I would personally like to see the Askarov fight, but you know, that's just me. You know, I would love to see a Perez Askarov fight. That would be kind of dope. So if it happens, homie, then you need to give me a shout out. That would be a dope fight. I think that fight would be right up your alley. You know, you're a tremendous young man. You've created greatness in the sport. You're a true veteran of the sport. You've been around since 2011. And not many people last that long. What keeps that fire burning? What keeps that passion? Who is it in your life that gives you those words of intent, that push? When you truly feel down or you truly feel that you're losing sight of where you need to be, Alex?
I would say my friends. There's a whole bunch of them that that I talk to on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, you know, and, you know, they know if something's wrong, they'll tell me, or we'll talk, you know. Those are the guys that keep me going, but the motivation in myself is just the next one, man, the next one. I want that title, so the next guy in front of me, that's my motivation.
Well, you got a tremendous coach to do it with. You know, like I told him, I said, I didn't even plan this show out the way it worked out. You know, it was kind of cool. I wanted you to come on. I already knew he was going to come on. So it worked out just right that you ended up being part of Team Oyama. You know, what I see in him, I see a reflection of him in all of his fighters. And I truly see that in you. And you can tell by the interview that I had with him that you're one fighter that he believes has that passion, that fire, and the determination to climb all the way to the top. What does it mean for you to know that Coach Oyama puts so much faith into your abilities?
It means a lot because he's been a lot of times. Like, I think people think that we're millionaires, and, you know, just because you're coaching someone, you're a millionaire, you're coaching guys that from the top. You know, if I can be honest, these guys don't make enough money. None of us make enough money. But the coaching staff, man, for coaching just in general, you sacrifice so much. Family time, you know, time away from your significant other, time away from home, just everything that goes into it. So for him to put that much belief in me, and like I said, me proving him right, winning and doing what I'm supposed to do, it just makes me happy.
Alex, would you say that this is more than just a belt to you? You know, being in the sport, defining yourself.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like I said, I'm the first person from my town to make it to the UFC, and like I'm setting like goals for guys, you know, that are training in my town, and sending like showing people in a small town that just because you're from a small town doesn't mean you can't get out of there. So, yeah.
You look at Jacob Stitch Duran. He's from Planada. That's just a little, if most people don't know, that's just a little divot in the state of California. And he created greatness. You're creating greatness. You know, how awesome was it to know that you got Performance of the Night bonus after UFC Raleigh?
It was good, man. Like I said, I feel like sometimes we get paid well. Or sometimes we don't get paid that well. It just depends, you know. We're not guaranteed money. So getting that extra bonus just helps me with my goal of buying a house this year.
Right. That much closer. Because I know that paycheck was pretty nice. You know, in life, they call me the if you haven't figured it out by now, they call me the Barbara Walters. Because I do a different aspect. I let you share who you are, what people don't see on television or the internet. And I think it gives people a better 360 view into the fighter. But if you had to write down, let's say you had a journal, and, you know, now it's the second coming of Alex, you know, what would you write in the first chapter of that book going into the future? What statement would you put down?
Man, I would put down. I would just put down. There's gonna be a lot of bumpy roads ahead, but keep your head strong and keep moving forward. It's a part of life.
Man, pretty wise words for a young man. You know, my friend, you truly do epitomize what the sport is about. You know, I'm so glad that you were able to come on the show, because what you're doing is tremendous. You know, like I said, I didn't even realize at first that you were under Coach Oyama. And I've been watching you. And when I seen Oyama with you in the cage, it was kind of like, oh, crap. You know, it was one of those oh, crap moments. But you've been a tremendous warrior, and a lot of people got their eyes on you, and you're making a difference in the sport, and you're a very humble young man to begin with. You know, I wish you the best of luck in the sport. You truly are a veteran that's gaining and gaining and gaining. And I tell you what, with Colin Oyama on your side, you can never lose. My friend, I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any friends, family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program before we let you go, the floor is yours, brother.
First and foremost, I just want to say thank you for having me on, man. It's a great pleasure to be on. And just want to say thank you to my team, Team Oyama, everybody, all my training partners. My main training partner, Yuma Haraguchi, fighting LFA tomorrow night. I want to thank everybody at One Jiu-Jitsu, Coach Gio Santana, and everybody that helped me there as well. Jeremiah Van, thank you for, you know, all the help. He's from 10 Planet. All my training partners, again, without you guys, I wouldn't be here. It takes more than just myself to get ready. Just thank you guys. I want to thank Corey Beasley, my strength and conditioning coach, for the last 5 years, you know, last 5-6 years, this guy's been a constant reminder of why I'm here. You know, this guy works hard, and he's a great guy, and he's helped me out a lot. So big thank you to him. Big thank you to my nutritionist company, Perfecting Athlete. Mama Paulina, thank you so much, man. You made the weight cut so much easier. Mindset Mike, thank you for, you know, getting me on point. Mentally, and just all my sponsors, thank you guys so much. I got Drink HRW, Miss Mary Jane CBD, Lace and Loop, High Desert Python, Defense Soap. Thank you guys so much. I wouldn't be here without any of you guys, without your help, and anybody that's ever helped me in the past and sponsored me. Just thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. Like I said, this isn't like a overnight thing. It's been a few years that's been in the making, and anybody that's helped me out in the past, everybody at Team Ochoa, Coach Nino Morales, all you guys, thank you. This would not be possible without you guys.
Oh, yeah. Now, what would your social media sites be, buddy? Because I'm sure a few of my listeners would like to give you a follow.
My social media is Alex Perez MMA. It's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Right on. You know, Alex, you're a tremendous young man, and I can't wait to have you back on again. The future is bright for you. You know, you're a tremendous individual, and you're a very humble-minded man, and I appreciate that aspect in the sport. Thank you for coming on the show, and you better not be late because Coach will give you crap. So I'm going to let you go, man, and I don't want to let him give you a bad time. But until the next time, brother, you're a tremendous warrior of the sport.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Oh, one more thing before I let you go. I do want to say Marshall Merrimo, if that's how you pronounce his name. I've known him for a long time, but I can't never get his last name right. He wanted me to tell you what's up because he shared the post, and he's a hell of a good dude, man, and I respect the love that you're getting from everybody worldwide, bro. Keep doing what you're doing. Until the next time, man, God bless you.
Thanks, man, brother. Thank you.
All right, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry we're getting a little tongue-tied there. It's been a long day. It's been a long week of radio, but I think Coach Colin Oyama said it best. And then finishing off with Alex Perez, he's truly a humble, humble young man that's been in the sport since 2011. He said 2013, but he's been around since 2011. He's beat some of the greatest in the sport, in his weight class. And that was a hell of an outing against Jordan Espinoza. And expect great things. Expect great things. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran, and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, and last but not least, the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie. On that note, have a good day, and God bless.
I'm in the booth. I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Oh, yo, that's what I'm talking about. My young boy up in the booth. He getting ready to kick it loud.
Go! whip for him, I get deported. Fish me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded.
Great.